In the last Cold War, nations tried to see who could make the biggest nuclear bomb. In the current international rivalry, the race is towards something you can't see, namely artificial intelligence. In fact, according to my next guest, China is spending big on AI as one component in its strategy for building a force-projecting military. Chris Taylor is CEO of the data and analytics firm Govini, and he joins me now. Chris, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
And you did an analysis of artificial intelligence spending among military powers to the extent that we can tell what they spend. What have you found?
Well, one thing we found is that China is certainly working as hard as it can to become the leader in artificial intelligence. It says so in its own documents that it will become the leader by 2035 in artificial intelligence. The U.S. is also working on artificial intelligence. One of the things to remember is that we can't speak about artificial intelligence by itself. It has to be spoken about in the context of big data and cloud computing technology. So we've spent about $7.5 billion over the last 5 years on those three things, and roughly about $1.6 billion over the last 4 years in AI technology alone.
And when you say AI technology, is that all software spending, or is it training and education? I mean, what is it?
The predominance is the technology itself. But the training, it's an important point you make. The training is that AI doesn't do anything if we can't find large data sets that help train the AI to do what we'd like it to do. So companies, large companies like Facebook and Google, who have access to enormous amounts of data, and in that we should include the U.S. government, have the ability to train their AI platforms in very unique and interesting ways.
And are AI platforms generally commercial products that you can buy and then just throw your data at it and it learns, or you program it to learn?
So there's a wide array of AI products in the market today. You have some of the chatbots that you see, lots of various things, your personal assistant on your iPhone. Those things are all AI-based. But what we're talking about is how to take advantage of artificial intelligence to increase the distance between us and our great power competitors on the battlefield.
And you mentioned that the United States has spent $1.6 billion on the AI part of this complex of cloud and data and AI. Do we have any idea what China has spent, and how do you find out?
So a little bit more difficult to find out other than what they say in the open. They recently reported that they were establishing a $2.5 billion artificial intelligence center of excellence directly. We know that they've been investing in artificial intelligence beside that as well. So it absolutely has the word billions attached to it, but so does our efforts. Our efforts as well also has billions after it.
And what about Russia?
Less known there, but certainly they're working to the extent that they have the capability and the resources to do so. They're also working on AI.
And knowing what we do about the relative spending levels, and it's pretty big, what is the measure of success for countries? I mean, how do we know what the qualitative aspect of all of the spending is?
I think if we're talking about it in the national security sense, the ability to drive AI into all of our platforms so that they are interconnected on the battlefield and are far more capable than those of our any adversary we might face is the qualitative measure. There's a lot of work ahead of us before we achieve that goal.
We're speaking with Chris Taylor, the CEO of Govini. And it seems to me, though, that this is the type of race that's different from the one I mentioned in the opener, which is like getting to a nuclear bomb, where somebody explodes one, someone hasn't, they win until the next one comes along. In the case of artificial intelligence, it seems like a never-ending quest to stay on top and to use the most perfective tools that you can.
As we think about America's technological dominance in the world, it's always going to be about increasing our speed, retarding the speed of those who may do us harm. But it doesn't end. There is no plateau. It's not like climbing a mountain where you get to the top and you say, whew, I made it. It will be a continuous thing until the next iteration of technology, whether it's called AI 2, AI 5, whatever happens. Technology has sent us on a journey that's equivalent to the universe expanding. It's just going to keep going. And what we do with it and how we stay ahead of it is the most important part.
In some ways, it seems like the spending could be embedded in many areas, but not measured as such. I'm thinking of DOD just received a report from the National Academies. A scientific board looked at how they might develop software and other capabilities to counteract drone swarms that are being developed by would-be enemies. And so there could be an artificial intelligence component into that retaliatory effort, but it may not show up anywhere as artificial intelligence spending per se.
So that depends on how you're looking at it. I think it's, as a big data and analytics firm, we specialize in sort of pulling apart what parts of these various efforts are AI, what parts are other pieces. So I don't know that we're going to have a difficult time in discerning what those things are. But the greater point that you make is that, in fact, AI will be integrated into everything that we do going forward. One of the things that that we need to be wary of is that if the AI market, the way it's constructed now, can't deliver what we need soon enough to stay ahead of our great power competitors, then it does make sense for the U.S. government, in this case DOD, who's leading the effort, to sort of lead a new market in AI, to make it more concerted, to bring together and galvanize together all of our AI efforts under one roof so that we can share various discoveries across the entire U.S. government versus waiting for seedlings that have been planted around the national security innovation base to grow. Sometimes that doesn't yield what we need fast enough. So I think the U.S. government, particularly DOD, has a huge role to play in galvanizing our artificial intelligence effort going forward.
And I guess in the same vein, it's also difficult to measure success versus spending. Say, to make an analogy, if you look at spending on supercomputing, you can come out with a measure of how many gigaflops, teraflops, betaflops, whatever it is. The power and the capacity that you buy is manifest. With artificial intelligence, it's hard to know whether a project actually worked or is effective in whatever it was aimed at in the first place.
I think it's probably a little clearer than that, in that once we've developed an AI application that works for a particular purpose, we can measure that. The first measurement is, did it prevent us from being attacked and did it save lives on the battlefield? Other than that, we will continue to be in this ongoing, we did X and then 2 years later somebody else did X. So we have to do X plus Y and a year later they get to X plus Y. And it's all about speed and discovery going forward. And so we have to take into consideration that the metrics we use to measure success will also have to be fluid based on what great power competitors are also doing.
And who would you say are the biggest U.S.-based, anyhow, technology competitors in AI?
It's an interesting question. If you measured that by where we were spending money, the predominance of AI spending, U.S. dollars being spent on AI, is done. The top 10 prime contractors are still the ones who are garnering those contracts. But I know that the Pentagon is working hard to attract Silicon Valley, Austin, Texas, Boston, other bases of innovation in the country who are doing exceptional AI work to partner with DOD, try and help them see what they don't already see and make use of what they don't have already.
Chris Taylor is CEO of Govini. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
For more information and a link to this interview, go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.